This morning, if you got your Bible, Luke chapter number 10. Amen. That was a blessing. All right. So we need some of you husbands and wives up here singing next week. Brother Morgan, you and Mrs. Morgan, guys, next week. Have you guys sing. That'll be a blessing. Brother and Sister Felliu, looking forward to you guys singing next week. That'll be a blessing. Brother and Sister Bryant. Not a blessing. Oh, amen. Hey, visitors, we're glad that you're here this morning. There's several visitors. I'm afraid I'm going to miss somebody this morning. And maybe we get toward the end of the service, we can recognize you. But we're so glad that you're with us this morning. Make yourself at home. We'll have a break between the Sunday school morning service, and then we'll have the morning service. Again, if you're visiting, we'd like to get your picture. They're going to get a copy of that picture for you. If you get them taken after the service, we're going to have them by tonight. If you took them before the service, I think they can have them before you go home. But again, want to give you a copy of that picture. And listen, fellas, I hope that you'll take the picture. I know some of you, sometimes in times past, we've had fellas that do not like taking the picture. I think it's important for your wife to be able to have a picture of you so she knows who she's married to. And I think it's important for the church to have a picture of you so if something happens to you unexpectedly that we have a picture of you. And I know that sounds morbid, but you could die. And so we'd like to have a picture so we can remember you in this beautiful state that you're living in right now. This young, handsome-looking state that you are right now, because it probably won't happen again. So anyway, all right, Luke chapter 10 is where we're at this morning. Luke chapter 10. I want to talk about Martha for just a moment this morning. Let's pray together, and then we'll look at the scripture. Father, thank you, Lord, for your word, and may we take in, digest, Lord, the bread of life in the sense of what you have for us spiritually. Lord, this Mother's Day, as we look at Martha today, help us to learn lessons, whether man or woman. May we learn things that would be beneficial and helpful to us in our life that we would again do in some cases how she did do. Lord, help us to trust you and live for you. Lord, please again give us the words to say for your people. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Martha's an interesting character in Scripture. There's 12 verses mentioned about Martha in the Bible. There's only two main stories mentioned about Martha. Lord permitting, I want to look at both of those stories with you this morning on this Mother's Day. I want to use Martha. Martha was not married. Martha was, again, we don't know how, if I can say, rich she was, but she did own her own house. It appears that she was the older of the two as far as Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. We look at Martha, and there's lessons. In fact, I think sometimes Martha gets the raw end of the deal. I think that we often look at her because of this first story in a negative sense. But you have to remember several things about Martha. Number one, Martha did sit at the feet of Jesus hearing his word. Number two, as soon as Lazarus died, when Mary and Martha heard that Jesus had come, the only one that got up to go see Jesus was Martha. I think there's when you look at the scriptures, there's several things to learn about Martha's life. It's interesting that twice the Bible says Martha served. She was a servant, and I know, and I'll make the statement, but sometimes she allowed her serving to overstep the bounds of her spirituality. She allowed what she thought was important as far as getting things done for Christ instead of really being one for Christ. And I hope that this morning, yes, we learned that, but there's some other lessons I'd like for us to learn. And again, there's two main thoughts I want to just kind of share with you this morning. Look at your Bible now, Luke chapter number 10. Look down in verse number 38. Luke chapter 10, verse number 38. Studying the story of Martha. This first one is when Mary and Martha are sitting at the feet of Jesus. Verse 38 says, "Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house, and she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word." All right. Now, church family, I want to make mention here that the word "also" is used because that's where Martha was also. All right. So when the Bible says in verse number 39 there, "which also," last phrase, "which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word," that means Martha and Mary both were sitting at the feet of Jesus. The word "also," they were both sitting at the feet of Jesus. Now, look what happens next now. Sometime in this storyline, Martha gets up and leaves that place. Verse 40, "But Martha was cumbered about much serving." That's a lot of Christians, by the way. Martha was cumbered about much serving. "And came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone?" I always get a kick out of her criticism of Mary because Mary did not leave her. Martha left Mary. They're both sitting at the feet of Jesus. Martha gets up to serve people. And then all of a sudden she comes back to Jesus and says, "Hey, listen, would you please talk to Mary, Jesus? Would you please talk to Mary? My sister's left me." Mary did not leave the place of sitting at the feet of Jesus. It was Martha. She goes on to say in verse 41, or Jesus goes on to say verse 41, "And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful." The word "careful" means anxious. "And troubled," that means disturbed. "Careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. Now, I'm going to tell you, if the only thing we preached on this morning was that one phrase, I want to tell you the one thing that's needful is sitting at the feet of Jesus hearing his word. Hey, church family, I know that we're kind of away from the Philadelphia era of churches, that people that were on fire for God, people that were serving for God. And by the way, that's what we're supposed to be. If you're saved in here this morning, you ought to want to serve God. And if you're not serving God, and by the way, you're not going to be convicted about serving God if you're not even having a walk with God. Your walk with God is what convicts us about our service for God. All right? So in other words, the more I read my Bible, the more I pray, the more I'm under conviction, I ought to be telling people about Jesus Christ. The more I read my Bible and pray, the more under conviction I get about giving. The more I read my Bible and pray, the more I get under conviction. I'm not supposed to miss church. All right? So if you're not having a walk with God, it's easy to show up for church and not be under conviction of the preaching of what you're not doing as a Christian, but you're going to have a hard time not being convicted by the Holy Spirit of God if you're having a walk with God that you should be doing more. There's not anybody in here this morning that should not be doing more, me included. We all should be doing more for Christ. Amen? Amen. So here we have Martha and Mary, and Jesus makes this powerful statement in verse number 42, and but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken from her. Now, church, I just want to quickly this morning, and it will be very quick because I've got 10 minutes. I want to be just brief, but I want you to think about these two stories, and I won't have time to teach really in detail this morning. But this first story is Mary and Martha sitting at the feet of Jesus. Martha gets up to serve. She comes to Jesus. Jesus says, hey, listen, Mary hath chosen. She chose that more important part, the one thing that was needful. What was it? Sitting at the feet of Jesus, hearing his word. So lesson number one about Martha was this, is God is really pushing, explaining, teaching, stressing how important it is to do the one thing that's needful. Now listen to me, church family. I want to tell you what the one thing is needful. Have your devotions. Hey, I'm thankful that you came to church this morning for Sunday school, and God wants you in church. But church family, church is not just Sunday, all righty? Your services is Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday also. And that service is between you and God when you spend time in the Word of God, sitting at the feet of Jesus. How do you sit at the feet of Jesus? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Okay, so I spend time with God every time I open up the book. So here Martha's talking, or Jesus is talking to Martha, and he says the first thing he's trying to stress is this, is that hearing his word should be the priority in our life. That's right. I want to tell you something, there's a lot of Christians, they're skipping church this morning because they look at church as some fellowship time or some time of social outreach. Just think for a second here. Church is about a congregation coming together that where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I... Church is about being with God. I understand that the building is not the church. We could all step outside and have church out there. Church is the people. But I want to tell you, God is in the midst of his people. And if you're here this morning and you're not for sure you're on your way to heaven, I just want you to understand, you didn't come to church out of a religious obligation today. You came because God ordained for you to be here today. You didn't come from your choosing. I hear people all the time say, well, I got saved because I found Christ. You got saved because Christ found you. He found you. Today we were at the prison this morning and for service and had a service, and there was two people that did not raise their hand for salvation. I asked, do you know for sure you're on your way to heaven? And all of them raised their hand. I saw there were two that did not. I said, if you do not know for sure you're on your way to heaven, you got any doubt about it, I'd like to pray for you. One raised their hand and the other one did not, but the two of them did not raise their hand. And I said, now listen, with your heads bowed or eyes closed, there's two workers with me this morning that while I'm preaching will take a Bible and show you how you can know for sure you're on your way to heaven. I said, now you have an opportunity while I'm going to pray. When I pray, if you'd like to get up, if you'll go to the back and let them take up a Bible and show you. And I want to tell you, they didn't get up. So I went over and slapped them and said, wake up. I didn't do that. I slapped other people. I didn't slap them. All right. I didn't do that. I didn't go to where they were. I didn't call them out by name. I didn't even point them out. Because you know why? Salvation's a free choice. If a person wants to get saved, nobody makes you get saved. No one's going to make you go to heaven. No one's going to make you believe. And if you're here this morning, God sees you. It's just like a spotlight on you. If you're not a child of God, God wants you to become a child of God. I told that famous story that's been told many a time, and it's so true, about George Wilson. George Wilson had killed another person. He was on a train, and he killed a person, tied himself up to make it look like that he did not commit the crime. Through routine questioning, it was found out that George Wilson killed the man. He went to court. He was condemned to die. Back then, they hang you to death. George Wilson was going to die by hanging. I do not understand why this happened, but somebody had a petition going around, and they got the president of the United States. They submitted all those petitions to the president. The president was Andrew Jackson. Andrew Jackson gave George Wilson a presidential pardon. Can you picture the warden coming to George Wilson in prison? He comes to George Wilson and says, you've been pardoned by the President of the United States. You don't have to die. Now, it's hard to explain, but he refused it. He said, I don't accept the president's pardon. He died. He hung to death. Did he have to die? No, he didn't have to die. He was pardoned. For God so loved the world. I want to tell you something. God doesn't want anybody to go to hell.
That's right.
Everybody's been pardoned, but you're not pardoned unless you receive the pardon.
Amen.
John 1:12, but as many as received him,
Amen.
To them gave he power to become the sons of God. Now listen, if you're here this morning, look at me this morning. I love you this morning. I know I talk fast. I'm not a good speaker. But we have a great God.
Amen.
And the last thing you want to do is leave today and not know for sure you're on your way to heaven.
Amen.
So the first thing is knowing for sure you're on your way to heaven. But along with what we're going with as far as Martha, if you're saved this morning, how many saved? Say amen.
Amen.
I want to tell you the next most important thing. Sitting at the feet of Jesus hearing his word. And it's yes, it's coming to church. And yes, it's me reading my Bible this morning. And yes, it's me memorizing scripture. And yes, it's putting the scripture around me on a regular basis. You know why? Because that's the one thing that's needful. So here in Martha's life, two great lessons. Lesson number one, make sure you do the one thing that's needful. Sit at the feet of Jesus hearing his word. All right, second lesson. Are you with me so far? I told you we don't have time to really teach these in full. Go over to John chapter 11. The only other story that we have of Martha is John chapter 11. The story of Lazarus, John chapter 11. If you're with me so far, say amen. John chapter 11. Lazarus is going to be raised from the dead. John chapter 11, look at verse number 1. I'll just read a few verses with you. Now, a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore, his sister sent unto him, sent unto Jesus, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, the sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now, Jesus loved who? Verse number 5, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days. Look at verse number 14. Then said Jesus unto them, he's talking to his disciples. He has not come to where Lazarus was. He says to his disciples, Lazarus is dead. Verse 15, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there to the intent that ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Jump down to verse number 17. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave. How long? Verse number 19, and many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give him. Now, interesting, I don't have time to read the whole story this morning. I just kind of give you a brief story. Most of you, how many already knew the story of Lazarus, the raising of Lazarus? Okay, most of you knew the story. When Jesus came to Martha, now think about two lessons this morning. Lesson number one, don't make sure you do the one thing that's needful. Sit at the feet of Jesus, hearing his word. Lesson number two. It's interesting that Jesus, when he gets word about Lazarus being sick, he doesn't come. In fact, he tells his disciples, hey, by the way, Lazarus is sleeping. And they said, hey, it's good that he's sleeping. And Jesus said, no, he's not sleeping, he's dead. Well, he just cut right to the chase, didn't he? He said, man, I'm glad I wasn't there because it's going to be good for you to believe. But I want you to notice what is said in verse number 4 about, again, talking about Martha this morning. Verse number 4, when Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for what? The glory of God, that the Son of God might be what? All right. How many's ever lost a brother or sister to death? Anybody? You've lost them to the grave? Okay. Not easy, is it? How many's lost a parent to the grave? Anybody? Obviously, we say to the grave. It's really to God if they're saved. But, you know, it's not easy. You know, I remember when my father passed away, how many times, especially right after he passed away, if I had a problem or something, he'd be the only one I could call. I remember one time he had passed away and something had come up, and I actually was going to the phone to dial his number. And when I went to reach the phone, I said, oh, he's not there. You know, those are difficult times in your life. You know, Martha's going through a difficult time. Her brother, who she was obviously close to because they're mentioned together here, her brother has passed away, and she comes to Jesus and says, man, Jesus, if you'd have been here. Jesus said, hey, I'm the resurrection and the life. Though he were dead, yet shall he live. But you know, what Jesus said to the disciples is what I want to key on. Jesus said, the reason I did not go while he was sick is I let him die so that the Lord might be glorified. Now, can I tell you the second lesson I look at for Martha? Two big lessons. 12 times mentioned in Scripture, two stories mentioned in Scripture. Story number one, the most important thing in life is make sure you sit at the feet of Jesus hearing his word if you're a Christian. Second one, allow trials to bring glory to God.
Amen.
Two big lessons. One woman. Hey, take the stone off the grave. I think it's true. The reason God, Jesus, said Lazarus come forth, because if he'd have said come forth, everybody would have come forth. Lazarus, come forth. Oh, man alive, can you imagine? He's been dead for 4 days. Everybody knew it. You talk about bringing glory to God. Hey, can I tell you the second lesson you ought to be able to get in life? Number one is remember, the most important thing for your life is to do the one thing that's needful, is every day of your life sit at the feet of Jesus hearing his word. The second thing is allow your trials to bring glory to God. You're having a financial difficulty. You're having a marital problem. You're having, you know, sickness going on in your life. Allow your trial to bring glory to God. You ever thought about if you lost somebody, the closest person, if you're married, the closest person is your spouse, but you ever thought about if you ever lost your spouse, how your life would change? Every once in a while, my wife, sometimes we tease about it, but sometimes we're talking about it. My wife has told me multiple times, if I die, you will have to marry two wives. I was actually thinking three, but anyway. It'd take that many people to take her place. There's no doubt about it. I can't imagine if I lost my spouse how my world would be turned upside down. But I want to tell you, if it's a loss of a spouse or loss of money, no matter what the trial is in your life, you need to allow it to bring glory to God. In everything, for this is the will of God. Man, I don't like what God's doing right now, but he's still God. And he knows what's best for us. Give glory to God. Trust God in your trial of life. Martha. Two big lessons for us to learn. Sit at the feet of Jesus hearing his word. One thing that's needful. Number two, allow your trial to bring glory to God.